Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Super Bowl 59 in a matter of days in New Orleans. Kansas City Chiefs try to make history, winning three in a row, which has never been done during the Super Bowl era. Yes, Lombardi won the first two, and he won the last NFL championship game, but you get it. No team's ever won three straight Super Bowls, and Andy Reid can get it done here starting at 6:30 Eastern time. And Philadelphia is trying to prevent that, obviously, from happening. Here to talk about that and everything else, Bob A.D.V. Serrato. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with CBSSports.com. He is our friend Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what is up?
How you guys doing?
Doing all right. Hey, you know, it'd be better if the Ravens were here. Then again, it might not be for Justin Tucker so much, but we don't want to digress, go down that rabbit hole again. The officiating and the controversy or drama surrounding it, and Sheriff Goodell got all butt hurt, and I'm sure he'll go home with 60 mil and not lose a wink of sleep over it. I mean, you had Will Anderson for used to going, it's us against them and the referees, et cetera, et cetera. It's gotten to the talking point where too much of a talking point here where, you know, yes, the commissioner of football about it. The Chiefs have to answer the question. So is it much ado about nothing? Is this worthy conversation? And in the end, will anything change, good or bad, as the fans see it?
To answer that last question, no. Absolutely nothing is going to change. And I think this is just the latest iteration of the best team. Now, going from darling to being hated by everyone, it feels like the Tom Brady Patriots and the Derek Jeter Yankees. And if you go back, I'm sure fans of teams that had to lose to those teams would tell you that the Patriots and the Yankees consistently got unfair advantages. I don't think that was the case. And in the moment, it may seem like that. My bigger issue, and this is just me, old man, getting on my soapbox to yell at the clouds, I would like the quarterbacks to stop flopping in general. And it's not just Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen does it. And the reason they do it is because they get flagged. The defense gets flagged for laying fingers on them. So I think that's a place to start. Obviously, there were some controversial calls in that Bills game, but I don't – if Don Kincaid catches that pass, how about we start there? Maybe we'll have a different conversation. So I know people like to get angry when their teams don't win, but nothing's going to change. And going back to the historical Steelers-Ravens rivalries, I would imagine Terrell Suggs would tell you that the refs were against them. Mike Carey threw him out of a game once for, you know, saying something he thought wasn't very nice. I remember that like it was yesterday. And James Harrison was in the crosshairs of the league for hitting quarterbacks too hard. So, you know, 15, 20 years later, it's the same stuff.
Hey, Ryan, one of the big things I have about the Super Bowl is, can Philly D-line, or let me put it this way. Can Kansas City run the ball on Philly's D-line just because – watching film, Kansas City's O-line really doesn't knock people off the ball. Philly's D-line is outstanding against the run. And then on the other side of things, Philly's O-line is huge. Kansas City's D-line, other than Jones, is not very big.
Yeah, and I think it, starting with the Eagles' offensive line, you got to lean into that. Even if the run game, even if Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, is selling out against the run, you got to keep running the ball with Saquon because that's what got you there. And you guys know, and Ravens fans know what happens when you get to the playoffs and you get away from what you do well. Last year's loss to the Chiefs, I'm sure, still stings on some level. But I think the other part of that is, to your point about the Chiefs' offensive line, so they've had to kick Joe Tooney at the left tackle because all the left tackles have either been hurt or stunk or both. And now you're having musical chairs along the offensive line, and that has affected sort of the consistency. The unit's still better than it was when they got, you know, when Patrick Mahomes, they got after him in that loss to the Super Bowl against the Bucs a few years ago. But I think your point's an important one, that Jalen Carter and company are going to bring it. And it may be a case where Patrick Mahomes has to win with his arms, and Vic Fangio has some young dudes in the back that are playing some really high-level football, and maybe that's going to, you know, you make him one-dimensional. I don't know if he's going to make him one-dimensional on Patrick Mahomes' arm, but he doesn't push the ball down the field like he did historically. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of intermediate and short stuff, and it's just a matter of rallying to the ball and making tackles. And if you're able to run the ball with Saquon and control the clock, you have to feel pretty good about that.
I just, Ryan, don't you think that they're going to be able to get a lot of pressure, especially Caliendo, the left guard? He's terrible for the Chiefs, you know? And
he didn't think he was going to play this year, Vinny.
Well, he's playing. Well, He's in the backfield a lot.
No, that's a fair point. And it's funny because I go back and think about the draft evaluation for Jalen Carter. It was all off-field stuff, and that's a concern. And the Eagles, quote-unquote, took a risk at 9, I think is where they got him. He was the best player in that draft class, and we're seeing it now. He's motivated, and he's getting after it. He's going to be a real problem. You better hope Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney are the ones that get to get their hands on him, because otherwise, to your point, Trey Smith is playing pretty well too. It could be a long afternoon.
Ryan, anybody really jump out at you at the Senior Bowl or their stock? All of a sudden you're saying, damn, that guy is a lot better, and he moved into the first round. Anybody like that?
You know who was a lot of fun to watch, and there had been some buzz on him going into the week, but he really differentiated himself, was Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall. He had, you know, the best ref in Senior Bowl history against the Oregon left tackle, Josh Connerly. But he had some juice coming in. He was a UVA transfer. He went to high school in Williamsburg, Virginia, at the same high school as Lawrence Taylor. And he has a chance to be a first-round pick. And this is an extremely deep class. In fact, he came in at 251. I had the Ravens taking him at the bottom of the first round of the mock draft I did on Monday. He feels like that sort of juiced up, not undersized, but 250-ish range edge rusher that can get after it. And he's a little more developed coming out than Ajabo and Owe were. But he has that sort of athleticism. He had a good week. And Jackson Dart was a hot topic, and the leadership of Jackson is what you kept hearing. I think he's a day two guy, but we'll see what happens, Vinny. You know how this thing works, and I just caution the Kenny Pickett cautionary tale. You can take him in the first round, but you better have a plan, because if you don't, he can't do it by himself. So I think that's a concern. The Jalen Milroe had some – I was hoping to see more from him, and it didn't pan out during the week. Not the end of the world, but it wasn't what I was hoping for down in Mobile.
Now, the first five picks of the draft, is there a quarterback in there, or there will be a quarterback in there just because of need?
Yeah, the last one. I like Cam Ward a lot. Is he a top five guy in previous draft classes? No, he ain't going top five last year for sure. Shador's going to be interesting. He's undersized quotation marks. He's not 5'11". He's probably a little under 6'2". Doesn't have a huge arm, but he can make every throw. Not the athlete of Cam Ward. And then the real, you know, perceived or otherwise, there's going to be conversations about how much of a issue is it going to be having to handle him and his dad. And that was a Caleb conversation a year ago, and it worked out fine in Chicago in terms of his dad not being an issue, but that's going to be a talking point. And I think they probably end up going top five just because so many of those teams need quarterbacks. And then after that, if another one gets into the first-round quarterback, it'll be something of a surprise, at least as we sit here, whether it's Jackson Dart or somebody else.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, Eddie and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. By the way, Caliendo do impressions by any chance. Anyway, Super Bowl.
He does an impression of a left guard.
All right, Super Bowl 59, 1.5. The line's been holding steady in favor of the Chiefs. Do they make history, or does Sirianni get the ultimate middle finger to people that would have fired 2 months ago?
Right, for real. I think it's hard to go against the Chiefs. I thought the Bills were going to finally get over the hump, and the Bills it up. I'm not going to home, even stack the rosters up and you feel a little bit better about the Eagles roster. I feel a lot better about Reed and Mahomes together, especially since they've been here so many times.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Super Bowl 59. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, getting the mock drafts ready to flow like water, man. Speaking of that Eagles roster, Vinny's going to break down the defense when we come back. Talk more about the Orioles, the roster, the way they're put together, time permitting. And then a butthouse trip to Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 o'clock.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Earlier in the program, as we prepare you for Super Bowl 59, we talked about that Philadelphia offense. Vinny broke them down film study-wise. Now we get to the other side of the ball, led by Vic Fangio. Got Ravens ties for sure. And that Eagles defense trying to stop that Kansas City offense from winning 3 straight Super Bowls.
All right, when we talk about their defense, this is a hell of a defense. For the regular season, Philly was a plus 11. Bob, in 3 playoff games, they're plus 10. Plus 10. Now, defensively, for the season, they're number 1 total defense. Number 1 against the pass. Number 2 in points allowed. Number 3 on third down. So they are an outstanding defense. Now, do they have personnel? Yes, they do. They have very good personnel, and I like their defense a lot. Like Milton Williams, defensive end, number 93, 6'3", 290. Jordan Davis, who we were going to be kind of upset if that's who the Ravens would have taken if Kyle Hamilton wouldn't have been there at 14. Jordan Davis, 6'6", 36, or 336. Jalen Carter, 6'3", 314. Those are their big dudes up front against an offensive line that doesn't really knock people off the ball. And Jalen Carter's as good as there is in the NFL. Now, the other two guys, they play the run as good as anybody, because the thing they do is, the thing about this defense, they're extremely smart. I think to play for Fangio, you got to be smart. They're very good fundamentally, and they're very smart. That defensive line group, I think they do a good job getting off of blocks and finding the football. Now, Jalen Carter, he can beat anybody one-on-one. He gets doubled against Washington. He was doubled probably 95% of the time, and you have to. Because that first play of the game, they didn't double him. He was in the backfield, first play of the game. Now, Jordan Davis is more of a run guy, but he did get a sack in that game. So if he's on Caliendo, their left guard, he's going to cause him some problems. So Kansas City's health in the O-line is going to be critical. Now, they do have a ton of depth there, too. Moro Alamo Ajomo, number 97, he'll come in. But their depth is excellent, too, their rotation. Now, their linebackers, I mean, losing to Kobe Dean hurt him because he could really run. And Orion Burks, he comes in now, who's 6'3", 233. He's okay. Zach Bond is their all-pro linebacker, number 53 on the inside. What makes him so good is Jalen Carter gets doubled. He's running free most of the time. He's, you know, the Will linebacker, he's running free. He just, there's nobody comboing up to block you. And that's huge. Their run defense is spectacular, I think. I think they do a hell of a job in the run defense because they don't get knocked off the ball to defensive front, and the linebackers are free to run. So the key for them is they just got to tackle well. Sweat, their one pass rusher, 6'5", 263. And Brandon Graham's going to be back this week too. So that's going to help them. Do they have the elite pass rush guy? No. Nolan Smith Jr., I think he probably has Nolan Smith. That's the wrong team. Nolan Smith has 4 sacks in the playoffs, 6.5 for the year. So he's having a pretty good playoff run here, and he's their leading sack guy. Jalen Carter's got 2. And then Brandon Graham coming back, that's just going to give them more depth. Now, to me, where they're really good in the secondary. I think they're very, very good in the secondary. I mean, you got Darius Slay Jr., who's just in the playoffs. 12 tackles, 5 pass defense, and an interception. That's one corner. The other corner, he's even probably better. Quinyon Mitchell, who's their first-round draft pick this year. And Mitchell, he's got 11 tackles, 4 pass defense, and 2 interceptions. And they're both excellent. And they're playing against wide receivers that are not great route runners. So and they cover well, and they play the ball extremely well. And their safeties, Blankenship and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think those guys are good in the back end. And they do a good job in coverage. They'll play zone, but they can play man. They play a lot of zone. And then Cooper DeJean, I think he's an outstanding nickelback. Cooper DeJean has been making plays for them in the playoffs. He's got 15 tackles, 3 pass defense in the playoffs. So that secondary is really good. So you're saying, okay, Kansas City, they're going to have a tough time running it on them. And you've got an outstanding secondary. And you've got some inside people that can really get pressure on the quarterback. Plus, you've got a defensive coordinator that is good at blitzing and stuff. So I think it's a really, really talented group. And I like the secondary. I think because they can make plays and they're smart back there. And the linebackers are smart. Like I said, it's a really smart group of guys. And they chase the football. They'll chase the ball. Now, if we look at the kicking real quick, Elliott, he's 6-7 in the playoffs, 0-1, 50-plus. But he's 9-12 on PATs. Now, Mann, the punter, he's averaging 39.8 net. He's given up 4 returns, averaging 11.8. So his hang time probably is not that good. But defensively, I think it's an outstanding group. And they're going to have their hands full because those defensive linemen, they're no joke.
And you mentioned Elliott's struggles, by the way. They've been season long.
No doubt.
This isn't something that just arose in the last month of the year. I mean, he was 77.8% technically. Now, he was all right in extra points. He only missed one, but he's missed three in the playoffs, as you said. But, yeah, if it comes down to Bucker versus Elliott.
Well, Bucker, Bob, he was 84% during the regular season.
Yeah,
but
a banged-up knee.
Yep, 4-for-4 in the playoffs, but and 5-for-5 PATs, but with a long of only 36 in the playoffs.
And getting back to the offense real quick, if you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. We're going to hear from Eric DaCosta as we played some of that earlier in the show. Jalen Hurts has been sacked 11 times in the postseason.
Yes, he has.
So I would think not the key to the game key, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Is their O-line's a little odd.
They're beat up. Yeah. The center and the guard, they're good players. They're beat up. The left tackle, give outside speed. Lane Johnson's a pretty decent player to right tackle. Becton, quickness. Just like Filele, quickness causes him problems.
We come back. We're going to hear from Eric DaCosta. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. There was a trade in the NBA. If you're a fan of Kyle Kuzma, we'll buy a Bucks jersey because that's where he's going, as he's going to Milwaukee in exchange for Chris Middleton and others. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, 2 o'clock, or excuse me, coming around 1:45. Then Inside Access takes over at 2. Don't forget tomorrow night on The Fan, Maryland at Ohio State.
Your sports information station, 1057 The Fan.
Biddy and Hattie, 1057 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. One more segment to go. Send your request, Plaza 4 text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Hattie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Michael Pope here with you. We're going to hear from Eric DaCosta in a second. He was on with Todd McShay and his podcast, but let's get a call in real quick. Go to Cliff in White Marsh. Cliffy, what's up?
Hey, I'm going to use both you guys, Bob, a baseball for you and Vinny. I'll start with the football first. You know, Vinny, we lose games, the Ravens do, by not being able to close games out with a pass rush, a key sack or something. And it's so important to help your offense when you can get off. You know what I'm saying? And we just don't seem to be able to hit on one. And, I'll hang up after the baseball comment and see what you seem to think about getting a rookie or getting somebody that pull a George Allen on them, Bob, and send some draft picks somewhere and get a real guy. But anyway,
yeah, George Allen hated rookies.
Yes, he did.
He did. But anyway, Bob, about baseball, back in June of last baseball season, you and I were talking, and we talked about how the Orioles had an organizational shift. Their players were taking pitches, working counts, making pitchers work. And that was following up after the 101 win season. And they turned right around, and they started out great. And then a malaise hit that offense. And they brought in some guys that weren't very good hitters, which is a couple of guys. The names I forget. But those guys, I think they were
Eloy called. Jimenez, let me help you with one of them.
Yeah, and Slater and – they weren't major league hitters at the time, but I think the Orioles brought them in there to try to break a funk that every Oriole hitter seemed to fall right back into bad habits. And I don't know what you think about that, but I just think that they need an offseason of really getting back to what made them successful.
All right, Cliff, thanks for the call. We talked about it about an hour ago, as a matter of fact, with the on-base percentage in Adley Rutschman Exhibit A. I mean, this guy's calling card, going back to when he was probably playing T-ball, he got on base. He had a great eye around the plate, so he wasn't swinging at balls, strikes for strikes. Last year, he was just up there flailing away, and then I guess once you go into slump, the umpires don't give you the respect that guys who are pretty adept at identifying a ball and strike would get, and then you started swinging for the five-run homers because they go in these long stretches of inability to hit, and we saw it in the playoffs. They couldn't get a hit with runners in scoring position. 2023, they were the best team in baseball in that category. Second half of last year, they were arguably one of the worst. So, yes, to your point, Cliff, for sure, and I guess going back to the, you mentioned George Allen, get rid of them draft picks and go get an impact veteran kind of guy. We're looking at Trey Hendrickson now, as a matter of fact, on Pat McAfee, and he's got some contractual issues, it seems, with the Bengals right now.
Yeah, we got two teams that, you know, with Garrett and with Hendrickson, that may be possibilities for teams, but neither one will allow the Ravens in that hunt.
Well, one of the problems the Ravens would have if, in fact, Cincinnati would be willing to listen, it's that salary cap. And here's Eric DaCosta on the Todd McShay podcast talking about working within the salary cap and going back to those always difficult, tough choices here.
So the first way that we've really, I think, used technology and analytics is just developing our own. And so it is tough with the salary cap. You hate to see good players leave. Last year, we lost a slew of good players on defense, right? We had all these guys last year that overperformed. We lost all those guys last year. Well, you know what? We replaced. We traded Morgan Moses in offense. We let Kevin Zeitler walk. You know what? Our running game was better than it was last year, and Lamar got sacked less. So that's what motivates me, is how do you take advantage? Because, you know, the reality of it is, if you have a good team, right, you spend a lot of money on players, you can't keep everybody. You become a victim of your own success by drafting really good players.
That's a fact. And then in the age of salary cap, like Eric said, life's about choices. You can have whatever you want, but it's going to cost you somewhere. It was funny because Eric said, you know, we rushed him. They did get Derrick Henry.
Well, that was kind of the main reason. But we all thought, a lot of us, ourselves included, thought the offensive line was a gigantic area of concern for them.
And they did, too.
And they came out, and Morgan Moses did not play well for the Jets. Zeitler had a good year for Detroit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone, Falele being a Pro Bowl alternate, nobody saw that coming. Ronnie Stanley playing more like the 2019 version, the 23 version.
That
was all exactly. Fingers crossed. And then McCary being full-time plug-and-play after Voorhees got hurt. So it all kind of a perfect storm, if you will, worked out for them.
And then
Rosengarten.
Yeah, I was just going to say a hell of a pick with Rosengarten. And that was – you got to give the coaches a lot of credit on that, too. Because they developed these guys. They got better as the season went along, and that's coaching. So that's a thing that you can do, too. Like, if you're Eric and you know you've got coaches that have developed guys in the past, then you got faith and trust and confidence that, hey, these guys are going to get better.
Now, Eric DaCosta wanted to talk about this subject so much, he even kind of snuck in a comment there. But traditional scouting, analytics, and finding that perfect combination there.
So the first way that we've really, I think, used technology and analytics is just developing our own software. And I think we have an unbelievable product that we started developing in probably 2013. It's very, very advanced. We have two developers, full-time developers on staff with football backgrounds.
Is it for sale?
No, it's not for sale, unfortunately, no. Some of the best tweaks we've made or ideas that I've gotten from the Orioles, because they're very advanced.
Interesting.
And I've looked at their software and we've added components. So that's the first thing. The second piece, though, really is the modeling that we do. We do pro modeling and we do college scouting modeling, which basically assigns a grade to every player. And that's a part of the process.
And I think the key thing, the last couple words, I think, were the key parts of it, part of the process. It's not the whole process. It's part of the process.
Right, and modeling, he's not talking about bikinis and Speedo. He's just talking about certain models that teams have, like the Orioles, because he and Mydell are buds.
Yeah, yeah.
So a little intel sharing going on between the two Baltimore teams.
Right, because everybody has their specifics that they like at each position. You know, and just like I go back to Bill Walsh, like with quarterbacks, what would have been in his, like, any quarterback that had under a 20 Wunderlich, he wasn't interested, figuring that they weren't smart enough. So you put in your specifics and what you want at each position, then you kind of run those models. But in the end, Bob, it all comes back to the film. And you know, and the other things that you know, analytics doesn't talk about and doesn't show is, does he love the game? I mean, you could fit everything perfectly in those analytics, But if you don't love it, how are you going to get better at it? And you're passionate about it, and your compete level, you know, all those types of things. I mean, that's what's like Karloftis for Kansas City, Bob. Probably wouldn't come out great in the analytics stuff, but I mean, he plays his ass off. Well, you know who would have? Suggs, who's going to be a Hall of Famer maybe Thursday night.
He
ran 4.8.
I was
at the workout. 4.82, as a matter of fact, it was. That doesn't. But when you watch the film, like, holy hell, you know, he's sacking everybody and he doesn't play slow. You know, does analytics put in there for play faster, play slower, functional speed or functional strength? You know, all those types of things.
And here's Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, talking to Todd McShay a little bit more about the Ravens, their specific scouting process and how they go about grading players.
Our scouts understand, you know, the qualities that we're looking for, the background, you know, whether it's growth mindset, pride, attention to detail, durability, leadership qualities, whatever that entails. All those different things kind of go into our formula. And then we build out what we call a football GPA, and it's based on a four-point scale. Every player that we evaluate gets assigned a grade. And so we have the football grade, and then we have this kind of football GPA. We combine the two of those things, and that's really how we, at the end, how we rank our players and what we come up with the board.
The things I was just mentioning, basically, Bob, is like the football GPA, the compete level, and you know, that's, you know, I mean, if you've got, you know, I mean, if you're a good football player and you're – football grade, your film grade and stuff is high, and then your football GPA, like Eric says, there is high. Oh, probably a top 10 pick. You know, I mean, that's probably a first round guy. But I would think that, you know, the later you get in the draft, Bob, you may go get you a guy. Give me the guy with the high football GPA because he's got all the intangibles. And then maybe that plays better than, you know, a height, weight, speed guy.
And he also mentioned injuries, which, duh, have to factor in.
Well, yeah, the medical grade would be, and yeah, no doubt. And I've mentioned it before. When a player goes to the combine, you get a medical grade because every player goes through the combine and goes through the physical. And your doctors are there. Each team has all their doctors there. And they put a medical grade on them, and your trainer's there. And usually 1 to 5, 5 being the worst. 5 means you don't want him because he's had a bunch of things. 4, he's had a few surgeries. Trainers would prefer you not to take him. You can, but we're going to have to baby him. He's not going to be able to practice, those kind of things. A 3, 3 is he's had some. He's had a hammy. He may have had a surgery, but he's played. 2 is he's maybe just had a hamstring injury. 1, he's had nothing, never. You know, and then you throw that grade on it and go from there.
5-7 The Fan. When we come back, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, as he talks about, well, I read your text that you have commentary people about the sporting day, which is Woman Crush Wednesday, and then Inside Access takes over 2:00 tomorrow. It's featured, Total Request Thursday, as we start breaking down the Super Bowl a little bit more. Preview Maryland taking on Ohio State tomorrow, and whatever the Orioles do. Hey, Elias, looks like he's ready to do something. We'll keep an eye on it like everybody else. The same people that vote for the MVP voted him as the first team All-Pro quarterback, and that was, what, a month ago? So he's probably going to win said award. Derrick Henry's up for some honors. He ain't getting it because Saquon Barkley. And rightfully so. As great as Henry was, Barkley was incredible, and they were both deserving, but it is what it is. Hall of Fame announcements will come out tomorrow. So Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yanda, both finalists for said Hall of Fame. I think one gets in, it's going to be Sizzle. Yanda, not yet, but eventually.
Yeah. There's 15, and there can be up to 5 chosen.
So there are going to be some hurt feelings, the Jared Allens, the Torrey Holtz, among others.
Torrey's been in there a while.
Been holding over, and you talk about, wide, unless you're Jerry Rice, wide receivers tend to wait.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrell Owens didn't get in on the first ballot. James Lofton took forever to get into the Hall of Fame. But as we talked about his resume, Terrell Suggs, that is, Rookie of the Year defensively, Defensive Player of the Year, multiple-time All-Pro, one of the leading sack guys in the history of the game, two-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, he checks every kind of Hall of Fame box
there.
Yeah,
you would think that Sizzle definitely gets in.
So that's happening tomorrow. Then you got the trade deadline in the NBA. I mean, what else is going to happen outside? Kuzma gets traded from Washington to Milwaukee for Chris Middleton. But Jimmy Buckets, does he have a new home? Does anybody even want him? If he's making these demands, I'm not signing a long-term deal. Well, have fun being suspended in Miami. We can win our 43 games without you. And what else am I missing? And we're a week away from spring training. So, geez Louise. Oh, and that Super Bowl thing coming up Sunday down in New Orleans with Kansas City. Yeah, that 1.5 is it's holding strong. Nolan, any closing comments before we get to that funhouse?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about Suggs and Yanda and their candidacy. Another former Raven, actually, in the finalist group, Steve Smith. Now, there's a name, again, logjam at wide receiver. Probably not one of those guys that jumps out at you as first ballot anyway. And he's probably in a competition with a bunch of guys in front of him, too.
Yeah, Steve Smith, let me just say this about Steve Smith. He's a guy I would like on my team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that dude, how many hitches did he take and, you know, make people not miss, well, kind of miss, but, I mean, his yak ability was spectacular. Just a thick bowling, you know, ripped, muscular kid.
He's got one of my favorite plays in Ravens history. I think it was his first game here. They were playing the Bengals. Flacco threw him a bomb. He fought off the defender to catch it, and then he grabbed the guy's face mask and ripped him to the ground. The strength for a guy to throw a guy that's bigger than you like that on the run to the ground and then finish the play, incredible.
By the way, Steve Smith now on NFL Network, and we've had him on the show before. He'll tell you he's first ballot worthy. Just asking.
I regret saying that. I'm sorry, Steve.
I mean, I don't vote, but Steve Smith will make a strong argument for Steve Smith. That he deserves to be in that thing.
And then the game against the Panthers, when he went off against them.
Ice up, son.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he caught the hitch and spun outside? I think it was like right in front of Raven, went like 60-some yards down the sidelines.
There was another one. It was intended for someone else. They tipped it, and he just happened to be running behind, and it fell right in his hands, and he took it to the house.
Yeah, and let's not forget all the brilliance he had in Carolina, too.
Oh, that was phenomenal
there. Great Super Bowl, for sure. But all that gets decided tomorrow. So Friday, we'll certainly have no shortage of topics to get into, and we'll just follow along with your Wednesday sports world and get into all of that as well. But Nolan, enough of us. Let's get some of the people funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first text here on the Orioles says, it makes sense that Heston Kerstad would be the fans' first choice to be a trade chip, but what about Cedric Mullins? Seems like the O's aren't committed to him long-term because of Bradfield. Kowser could play center for a year or two. O'Neill and Kerstad in the corners.
Well, Cedric Mullins is going to be a free agent after the upcoming season, and Cedric Mullins was one of your best offensive players in the second half of 2024. So Heston Kerstad, again, is the magic bean that's still looking to grow into whatever he's going to be. Cedric Mullins goes to Team A in a trade with others, and he might bounce after 1 year. Cedric Mullins is an asset to the Orioles this season. Let Bradfield and all that stuff handle its business in 26, if, in fact, that he's the guy.
Text here talking about back-to-back titles, three-peats, what's impressive, what isn't. This one says, I would put more stock into back-to-backs or three-peats in games or sports with a longer schedule, hockey, basketball, especially baseball. There's just so many variables when you play that many games. For example, the Dodgers probably expected to win the next 5 World Series at this point, but it's not going to happen, even with a stacked roster. Speaks to the difficulty of repeats.
The only thing is with the NFL, with the physicality of it, you can't play every other day or every day.
Teams have done it in baseball. It's a rare occasion. It hasn't been done in over 20 years, but it's happened. And let's say, I don't think this will happen, But if UConn wins the national championship in men's basketball, hey, throw them near the top of the list because you're almost literally doing it with three different teams. This isn't John Wooden and Bobby Knight having dudes playing for 4 years at Duke with the Hurley and Leitner era. It's like redoing your entire roster. That would be quite the accomplishment, too.
And one last one on the Ravens. Texter says, everyone's fixated on Myles Garrett, even Max Crosby, but I would rather them move up in the first round to get a better pass rusher if they like one. You can control them for 4 or 5 years at that point. I guess if you're DaCosta, you're asking yourself, is 2 years of a proven pass rusher worth more than 4 or 5 years of an untapped prospect?
Well, it all depends, you know, on your salary cap. And then that's why you do 3 and 5 year plans. You know, you got to look and see who are we going to have to pay? Because they're going to have to play Kyle Hamilton, Zay Flowers. They got a lot of dudes coming up. Lindenbaum, you know, probably Falele. They got a lot of guys. So to go get a draft pick, that's cheaper labor.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow. Total Request Thursday. Inside Access coming up here in just a matter of minutes for Michael Pope, Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. Weather's supposed to be a little crappy overnight, so be careful. For now, class dismissed.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.